This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Respected elders, brothers, sisters and beloved young ones, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the greatest gift which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to humanity, which is the gift of Iman, the gift of the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once again having given us the opportunity of coming together in the house of Allah on this glorious and auspicious and beautiful occasion of a Jumu'ah. Jama'at Muslimin, as we are all aware that we are in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, and just last week many of us would have come together in the house of Allah to commemorate the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in terms of the fiqh and the discussion amongst permissibility and impermissibility, that's a discussion that we can have on its own, inshallah. I'm not going to go into the details of that discussion, but suffice it to say that the great ulama in the past, they all permitted the maulid. And with regards to the Shafi'i madhab, which majority of our people in Cape Town follow, the Shafi'i madhab promotes it. So as far as the details of discussion is concerned, inshallah, whoever wishes, inshallah, they can contact me, inshallah, they can get my number from the committee here, and they can contact me and we can have details with regards to the discussion on the permissibility or impermissibility of maulid. But that's not the topic of the discussion, inshallah. Jama'at Muslimin, when we speak about Rasulullah ﷺ, then naturally a certain love develops in our heart. Because who can mention the name of Rasulullah ﷺ without the heart being affected by that beautiful name? But very often we tend to forget that how did we come to know of this beautiful person called our beloved Master Nabi Muhammad ﷺ? How is it that throughout the history of humanity, you have no individual other than Rasulullah ﷺ whose every single detail of his features and of his life can be treasured and memorized and remembered and taught for 1400 years? Show me any other person in history from the time of Nabi Adam ﷺ right up to the present day who we can exactly say what his physical features were. Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, he writes a book called Shama'il. In the Shama'il, he describes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's physical character, he describes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's habits, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's human character, he even describes Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's walking. How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walk? How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talk? Every little aspect of the life of Rasulullah was preserved, and it was transmitted from generation to generation to generation up until our time. And that preservation of this life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it started by Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum realizing the magnitude and the greatness of the person who they followed. If it was not for them having recognized that Rasulullah ﷺ was this exceptional human being, then would they truly have told us that Nabi ﷺ would very really laugh out loud? You couldn't see the inside of his mouth. Most of the Nabi's laughing were smiles. Would they have taken notice of something as small as that? Would they have taken notice, Jamaat Muslimin, do we know that The Sahaba even told us what the fingers of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked like. What the toes of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked like. They even told us those details. Would they have taken note of the smallest details such as that if they did not understand the greatness of the person who they are taking the deen from? But it was because the Sahaba recognized that. That they memorized every aspect of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And therefore, a very important component in learning the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is learning about those Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum that taught us about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because without them, what would we have known? We would have known, in fact, would we even have known the Quran? Because in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, the Quran was not compiled as yet. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu first compiled the Quran. And then again, later, in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radhiyallahu anhu, it was compiled in the form that we have today. But was it not for the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu, then what would we have known of deen? Would we have known the Quran? Would we have known anything of the Sunnah? So Jamaat Muslimin, in order for us to get to that Quran and Sunnah, we need to understand the lives of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu. We need to understand and value them. In order to appreciate what we have today. Today, if one hears the name of Sheikh Yusuf al-Qardawi, rahimahullah, then people are in awe because, subhanallah, what a great alim you are speaking of. Mufti Taqi Usmani, hafizahullah wa ra'ah. Then people are in awe because what a great alim you hear. Allama Khalid Mahmood. Then our hearts start to feel that awe because of, you know, the great ulama. Have you ever heard of Allama Abu Bakr? Mufti Umar? Sheikh Hadith Uthman? To them it wasn't about the titles. To them it was the work needed to continue. And therefore, when we speak about Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, then we say Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. When we speak of them, then we say Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhu. Because they were never worried about their titles, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imposed on us a certain attitude towards them. And Jamaat Muslimin, if I start speaking about Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, then people know that I tend to go a bit overboard and I get emotional because, subhanallah, I cannot get enough of them. I cannot get enough of them. In Surah Fath, the very last ayah of Surah Fath, about 7-8 years ago, I was compiling a booklet called Mi'atu Ayatin Fi Fadl Sahaba, in which I took 100 ayat of the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. But then also knowing that people don't generally tend to read big books, I then divided into 10 chapters, each chapter containing 10 ayat. And while looking for these ayat, you have to read the Quran a few times over, trying to find which ayat are appropriate for this particular topic. When reading through the Quran, you find this ayah speaking about the great Sahaba, that ayah. But you need to actually show that, you know, Sahaba are deserving of this. And I came into Surah Al-Fath. And I discovered something very unique about Sahaba. When Allah Ta'ala speaks about Nabi Musa alayhi salam, the Nabi about which we have the most information, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Nabi Musa alayhi salam throughout the entire Quran. But here a few ayat, there a few ayat, and spread over the Quran. When Allah ta'ala speaks about Nabi Isa alayhi salam, it's here a little bit, there a little bit, and some unique characteristics of Nabi Isa alayhi salam here and there, but in numerous ayat. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, then in Surah Fath alone, I found 17 different virtues of Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum in one ayah. I haven't found this. I'm not saying Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum are greater than Anbiya. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in one ayah, the most praises of a individual or group of people in one ayah in the entire Quran was not about the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. It was about the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. 17 different praises about the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum in one ayah. So, Jamaat Muslimin, if we have to go through the entire ayah today, then we won't be able to manage it. But let's just break down a little bit of this ayah, inshallah. And there's a reason why in this month of Rabiul Awwal, I've chosen to address the issue of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. Because in the month of Rabiul Awwal, we're speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it is they who taught us about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is they who lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, it behoves us to remember them and to honor them. And to take our deen from them, because they took it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala tells, A'udhu billahi min shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Muhammadur Rasulullah. والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما صدق الله العظيم. الله سبحانه وتعالى تعالى محمد رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala tells us Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is undoubtedly the messenger of Allah, and there was no greater title than that. The fact that he was the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can't get better than that. So there is no need to describe who this great messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, because the entire Quran was addressed directly to him. But Allah ta'ala says وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. The first great status of the Sahaba is وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. They were chosen to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imam Al-Hakim, in his book called Al-Mustadrak, he brings a hadith in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ اخْتَارَ لِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose me. وَاخْتَارَ بِي أَصْحَابِي. And just in case anybody understands Arabic and thinks that, you know what, it must, almost incorrect, it's ikhtara li ashabi. Now the hadith actually says ikhtara bi ashabi. So I'm just quoting the exact words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though grammatically you may think I'm incorrect, don't worry, that's the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ikhtara bi ashabi. Allah ta'ala chose my sahaba radhiyallahu anhu for me. It was no coincidence that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu was the best friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was chosen by Allah to live in that time and be the best friend of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah carries on, he says that Allah ta'ala made those sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, some of them to be my advisors, some of them to be my in-laws, and some of them to become my companions. And Nabi sallallahu continues then and says, فَمَنْ سَبَّ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ. Whoever curses any of them, whoever speaks ill of any of them, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Whoever speaks ill of any of them, upon him is the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the curse of the angels, and the curse of the entire humanity. Now you may say, but I'm not going to curse such a person. Allah ta'ala is not saying that it's by your choice that the curse will happen. Allah ta'ala says the curse will happen without your choice. Allah ta'ala will make you curse them. Even though you may not curse them with your tongues, you may think you're not cursing them with your heart. Allah Ta'ala says, وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah Ta'ala will make it such that somehow the other, your curse will fall upon such a person who curses the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. So why does Allah Ta'ala have such extreme love for them? That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that whether you want to or you don't want to, Allah Ta'ala will cause you to curse somebody who curses the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. They must be something special then, if such status is given to them. So the first status of Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu is وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. They were with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now Allah ta'ala wants to describe them. Who are they? أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. When it came to kufr, then they were very stern. They did not tolerate any kufr creeping into Islam. Everybody knows the Battle of Badr. What happened? They could have said, but we're very little in number, let's get away. But kufr was facing Islam. And therefore, immediately, Rasulullah makes the call. Immediately they said, oh Rasulullah, we submit. We go in jihad. We go in jihad, bismillah. Tahta Amrik. And they went. And within a short period of 13 years, of 10 years in fact, because Makkah period, there was no jihad. Medina period, there was a jihad. Within a period of 10 years, what happened to Arabia? It turned from a place of idol worship into a place of Tawheed. Within a period of 10 years. We are how long in South Africa now? More than 300 years. What impact have we made on South Africa? Have we truly made an impact? Alhamdulillah, to a certain degree, yes. There's currently roughly about 2.5 million Muslims in South Africa. So to a certain degree, we did make some impact. But is that truly enough? Can we say on the day of Qiyamah, Wallah, we did our job. We're happy. With approximately 90% of South African population on kufr. Are we satisfied with our contribution to Islam? Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum were never satisfied. Ashidda'u ala al-kuffar. Very harsh when it came to kufr. But ruhama'u bainahum. But amongst themselves, they're very merciful amongst themselves. And yes, we just want to pause for a moment. This issue of Mawlid that we mentioned earlier. This issue of Mawlid, you have those who are pro-Mawlid. Amongst those who are pro-Mawlid, you have those who are severely pro-Mawlid, where anybody that does not support the Mawlid becomes a fasik and becomes, he doesn't love Rasulullah and all of this. That's absolutely wrong. Because that's not showing mercy amongst each other. You don't condemn your brother because he doesn't want to attend the Mawlid. And then you have those who are mu'tadil. Those who are, they're not so strict on the attendance of Mawlid or the non-attendance of Mawlid. They say, mashallah, you my brother, whether you attend, you don't attend, mashallah, I still love you. And then you have those who are strict against Mawlid. It's bid'ah muharrama, bid'ah sayyaha, and bid'ah all of these things. And anybody that attends the Mawlid is a fasik fajir, because how can you attend such a bid'ah? I ask the question, where is rahma'u bainahum? Where is the quality of rahma between each other? I say to my Salafi brothers, who say the Mawlid is bid'ah, I say, brother, I love you for the pleasure of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has made us brothers. I love you. You my brother. Innamal mu'minuna ikhwa. You my brother. You don't want to celebrate the Mawlid, mashallah, I still love you. And those who go overboard in the Mawlid, it's wajib fard to come for the Mawlid. If you don't stand for the ashraqal, then you are fasik and all of these things. I say, my brother, I love you for the pleasure of Allah. I disagree with you. I disagree with the Salafi. But I love you for the pleasure of Allah. I'm a Mawlid lover. I'm a Shafi'i. And I love my Mawlid. I stand in the masjid on occasion. And I sit in the masjid on occasion during the ashraqal. When I make my tahiyat in my salah, I make salawat in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. My entire salah, qiyam, ruku', sajda, and tahiyya. In my tahiyya, do I come to the salawat and stand up for the salawat? No, I don't come up and stand up for the salawat. I'm in sitting position to make salawat. In the greatest ibadah of salah, I sit and make my salawat. So why is it fard for me to stand for the salawat in the ashraqal then? It's not fard. So I sit there. So sometimes I sit in the ashraqal, sometimes I stand in the ashraqal. MashaAllah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can be praised whether you are standing, whether you are sitting, doesn't matter. Allah Ta'ala says that when it comes to zikr of Allah, then you can do so qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubikum. You can remember Allah standing, sitting, even laying down. So why Rasulullah some different? You can remember Rasulullah standing, sitting, and even laying down. No problem. But to all we say that I love you for the pleasure of Allah, you my brother. Because that is the quality of a believer. That's the quality of Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. Ruhama'u bainahum. They have rahmah, they have mercy amongst each other. Have we learned this lesson from the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum? To have mercy for each other? Or have we become so harsh against each other? I differ with you in a small masala and I'll condemn you to the fire of Jahannam. Is this the quality of Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum? They took the ilm from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach them that if you disagree with your brother, then condemn him to Jahannam? This is not the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala describes one of the significant qualities was ashidda'u al-kuffar. They are harsh against the kuffar, but amongst each other they are merciful. We have twisted it around. We are harsh against the believers and we are merciful to the kuffar. We've mixed it around. So Allah Ta'ala says ashidda'u al-kuffar ruhama'u bainahum. This is quality number three. Number one was وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. They were chosen to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? Quality number two was أَشِدَّاوَ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. They are very harsh against the kuffar. Quality number three was رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala continues. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعَا. When you come into Medina and you were looking for Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, go to the masjid, you'll find them there. You'll find them there. And if you find them, you'll find them constantly in ruku'. You'll find them constantly in ruku, sujjada. First quality, you'll find them constantly in sujood. Why in ruku, in sujood? Why does Allah Ta'ala say you'll find them constantly in qiyam? Why in the posture of ruku and in sujood? If one visits a king today, then they say a lady has to curtsy in front of the king and a man has to bow down in front of the king. In salah, you're bowing down and you're showing as a believer, I bow down to Maliki Yawmiddin. In the other riwayah that we know, the Qur'an read, Maliki Yawmiddin, you are bowing down in front of the King of Kings, in front of the King of the Day of Qiyamah. So you'll find them, they are bowing in front of their Lord. They're placing their heads on the floor in front of their Lord. Which means what? They seek nothing from anyone. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Quality number four and five was, you find them in ruku, you find them in sujood. Why? سِيْمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. You'll find their signs are clear in their faces because of the constant sajda that they would make. Allah Ta'ala says, when did Allah Ta'ala describe the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم as such? ذَلِكَ مَثَلٌ فِي التَّوْرَاهِ. When Allah Ta'ala spoke to Nabi Musa عليه السلام in the Tawrat, Allah Ta'ala described the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم like this. That they are shiddaw al kufari ruhamau bainum, tarahum rukkan sujada yabdahuna fadlam min Allah wa ridwana. Allah Ta'ala described the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم like this to Nabi Musa alayhi salam in the Tawrat. How long between Nabi Musa and Nabi Muhammad alayhi salam? Do you know that the time frame between Nabi Isa alayhi salam and Nabi Musa alayhi salam was 2,500 years? According to Ibn Kathir, there's one riwayah that says, if you have to count the generations, then it's roughly about 2,500 years. According to another riwayah, also in Ibn Kathir, it mentions it comes to about 2,000 years. In Rahiq al-Makhtum, in Safiyur Rahman, Mubarak Furi, it mentions it comes to about 1,500 years. Depending on how you grade the ages of people, they would give an average for a generation. Currently, our average generation, you'll find four generations per century. Four generations, average per century. A person will get married by the age of 20, 21, 22. You'll have a child by the age of 25. So therefore, they'll look at every 25 years, a generation is born. So let's say four generations per century. In that time, ages were longer and therefore the generations gap would be longer. So there's difference between 1,500 years and 2,500 years between Nabi Musa alayhi salam and Nabi Muhammad alayhi salam. So they say that 1,500 to 2,500 years before the Sahaba al-Anhu were even born, Allah Ta'ala praised them in the Tawrat already. وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. And when Allah Ta'ala described the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم in the Injil to Nabi Isa عليه السلام, Allah Ta'ala says about them in the Injil, كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ شَطَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ. When Allah Ta'ala described the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم in the Injil, Allah Ta'ala says they are like a little sapling. You know, a little small plant. When that plant is planted in the ground, what happens? The first thing it does, it shoots its root into that ground in order to become firm. And once that root is in that ground and the plant becomes firm, then only the beauty of the plant comes upwards now and it grows and it brings about its flowers. But if that root isn't firmly in the ground, then instantly it dies out. So Allah Ta'ala says, once that Sahaba رضي الله عنهم embraced Islam, they first became firm in their deen. When they became firm in their deen, then that beauty of that deen, it was apparent in their lifestyles. They showed the beauty of their deen in the way they lived. Allah Ta'ala describes Sahaba رضي الله عنهم like this, fil Injil, in the Injil. Allah Ta'ala brags and boasts about the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum 600 years before they were born in the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, 1,500 to 2,500 years in the time of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala boasts about people who are not even born yet. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum are no average people. They are special. They are so special that Allah Ta'ala boasts about them to prophets. Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, they are part of the Ulul Azm. They are part of the greatest of messengers. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't tell them about each other. Allah Ta'ala tells them, well, you know, my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will come towards the end. He'll have such people around him. They are the special ones. So Jamaat Muslimin, when we hear the names, you know, when people tell me, Abu Bakr did this, I say, oh, the light in the street. Because you can't be speaking about my beloved master, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. When you're speaking about Abu Bakr, then you must be speaking about the light in the streets. Because not my friend. He's my master. He's Khalifatu Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you're speaking about Umar, then you must be speaking about my son probably, because my son's name is Umar. But you can't have been speaking about the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because that is Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu that. You speak about Uthman, well, I've got a nephew called Uthman, but you can't have been speaking about the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. When you're saying about Ali, then well, it must be another lighty outside there, because Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, therefore he's my master. But it's strange, Jamaat al-Muslimin, how when we speak about Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then we don't feel that awe for them. But without them, what would we have known of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So on the eve of Mawlid, when we stand, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, beautiful. We should praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu doesn't need our praises. But we are in need of praising him. So we should do so. But while doing so, we should understand that would we have known the method of salawat if it wasn't the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Zakariya, rahimahullah, he writes a book, The Virtue of Salat and Salam ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that book, he collects from hadith numerous versions of the salawat, all coming from hadith, where Rasulullah personally teaches us how to make salawat. But who narrates that from him, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. They narrate the hadith from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If they didn't narrate it, would we have known about salawat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah Ta'ala boasts about them to Nabi Musa. Allah boasts about them to Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Are we boasting about them today? Allah Ta'ala says, well, if you as insan don't want to boast about them, I'll boast about them in the Quran. And I'll force you to boast about them. Because when you have to read this Quran, you're going to read about them in this Quran. So if you don't want to boast about them, Allah Ta'ala will force you into that boasting. You want to become hafiz al-Quran? Wallahi, you'll never become hafiz al-Quran unless you boast about them, whether you choose to or whether you don't choose to. But you will read those ayat. You will read those ayat. So you can say, I don't accept the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum. I want to become hafiz al-Quran, I don't accept them. Allah Ta'ala says, I don't care whether you accept them or you don't accept them. I'll force you to accept them. And I'll force you to boast about them. Jamaat al-Muslimin, Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, are no ordinary human beings. I wish I had more time. I don't have much time. I've got 5 minutes left. So I'll try to rush over the rest of the ayah. ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ ذلك مثلهم في التراب ومثلهم في الجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع يعجب الزراع. The one who planted that sapling is very amazed at what happens when that sapling grows up. Who was the one that taught them Islam? Who was the one that taught Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum Islam? It was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On that last Monday morning before Rasulullah passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Fajr time, he comes and he can't even stand up properly. He comes to the door between his home and the Masjid Nabawi. And he opens up the curtain and he looks at the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum and he sees, what did he see in the masjid? Who's leading the salah? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu is leading the salah. And behind Sayyidina Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, this ummah that he taught that is now in the Fajr Salah stood up above their sleep and they are busy praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiles, يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاعِ. The planter of that sapling, he became very pleased. He's smiling at 23 years of effort. He sees the mission that he started has come to fruition. He sees the reality of the efforts that he has made. So يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاعِ. He becomes very, very happy. لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. Now here's a very interesting, for those who love the Arabic language, here's a very interesting structure of the sentence. لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمْ الْكُفَّارِ. Allah Ta'ala, when He wants to do something, what does He do? إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Allah Ta'ala wants something, immediately says be, and it's there. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need asbab. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need any sabab. Because He is musabbibul asbab. He is the one who brought asbab into creation. He doesn't need it. But when Allah Ta'ala wants to show you the kuffar, when Allah Ta'ala wants to show you the kuffar, Allah Ta'ala says, just look who gets angry when my sahaba radhiallahu anhu mentioned. لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمْ الْكُفَّارِ. Allah Ta'ala make anger. Allah Ta'ala place anger in the hearts of those people when the sahaba radhiallahu anhu mentioned. Look at any person, when any sahaba is mentioned and he gets angry, then their testimony, Allah Ta'ala says a kafir. Not my words, by the way. In Tafsir ibn Kathir, mashallah, for ulama, if they want to read, in Tafsir ibn Kathir, I actually brought it here. Anyone wants to go? Then Tafsir ibn Kathir, go to this ayah, the last ayah of Surah Fath, read in Tafsir ibn Kathir, under the part, لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ, Imam ibn Kathir makes mention that, from this ayah, Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he discusses this part of the ayah, and he says, from this part of the ayah, yeah, it's clear to see that the Shia are kafir, because they get angry when the Sahaba radhiallahu anhu mentioned. Tafsir ibn Kathir, not my words. Any person who gets angry when the Sahaba radhiallahu anhu mentioned, Allah Ta'ala says, لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمْ الْكُفَّارِ. Allah Ta'ala will use the Sahaba radhiallahu anhu to show the kufr in the hearts of people when they get angry when Sahaba radhiallahu anhu mentioned. Now people are saying, Mullah give fatwa, you so. Is Mullah fatwa? I said, no, I didn't give fatwa. I said, Ibn Kathir says, Imam Malik gave fatwa. I'm just quoting the fatwa of Imam Malik, rahmahullah. And I gave you the reference as well. You can go check up the reference as well. Ilyas didn't give any fatwa, no? Please. Right? Ilyas is making naql. My beloved Ustad, as Mufti Taha Karan, rahmahullah, used to say that, Al-ulama'u qad matu, innama nahnu hamalatul ilm wa naqalatul ilm. The true ulama, the giants of ulama, they've all passed away. All that we do, innama nahnu hamalatul ilm, we merely carry their knowledge, wa naqalatul ilm, and we convey their knowledge. We merely tell you what the ulama have said. That's all. So I'm just telling you what Imam Malik has said. I can go on and list the whole lot of ulama, the opinions on the issue, but that's not the occasion for this moment in time now. لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمْ كُفَّارَ. Allah Ta'ala then continues, and I'll conclude with this last part of the ayah. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Before I translate this, mashallah, our mashayikh who understand Arabic, they'll say, but they, the word minhum comes in, some of them. Allah Ta'ala promises, amongst them there are those with iman and those who do righteous deeds. Because they say amongst them because the word minhum. Right? Let's discuss minhum quickly. فَاجْتَنِبُ الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ. Allah Ta'ala says, stay away from the filth, مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ, of some of the idols. Does that mean that we can worship some idols and we should stay away from other idols? We can worship some. Because Allah Ta'ala says min. Doesn't mean that. Is idolatry in any way allowed in Islam? Because min is not only for tab'id. Min doesn't only mean some, a part of something. Min can sometimes be for ta'keed, to emphasize something as well. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala promises all of them. They all have iman and they all did righteous deeds. And therefore Allah Ta'ala guarantees them that they are forgiven by Allah Ta'ala. They guaranteed forgiveness by Allah Ta'ala. A sahabi, remember this name of the sahabi, Sayyidina Hatib ibn Abi Balta'ah radiallahu anhu. Remember this name, Sayyidina Hatib ibn Abi Balta'ah radiallahu anhu. He was a poor sahabi from Mecca, living in Medina at this point in time, now after Hijrah. So he comes to find that the Muslims will be attacking Mecca soon. And he sends a message to his poor family that, you know, stay in your homes because very soon we'll be coming. Not because he is against the Muslims, but his family is not a family of influence. So stay in your homes. We are coming and inshallah will bring Islam to you. And the message reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, well, there is a message going to Makkah. So Nabi Islam sends the delegation, go find this message here. It's hidden with a woman there. And they get to this person, they say, well, I don't have a message. Say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so. So if you are saying you don't have it, then wallah, you lying, because Rasulullah can't lie. And they find the message and they bring the message to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah asks him, ya Hatib, ma hadha? Hatib, what's happening? Are you conspiring against us? Are you sending messages to the Kufar of Quraysh? So Hatib says, oh Rasulullah, I'm a very poor person. I have nothing, I have no influence. My family is in Mecca. I'm afraid that when we come there, they'll be used by the Kufar of Quraysh to go against Islam. So now Umar says, oh Nabi of Allah, leave this. Leave this. Let me just kill him once and for all. He's a traitor. Let me kill him. Nabi Islam says, hold on, Umar. Hold on. Innahu Badri. He was with me at Badr. وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهُ اطَّلَ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ. And Allah Ta'ala looked at the people of Badr, فَيَقُولْ. And Allah Ta'ala says, اِفْعَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ فَقَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Oh people of Badr, do as you wish. I've forgiven everything for you. Now, in today's time, if a person is guilty of treachery, what happens? Treason, then what happens? Instant. Cop off. I'll say, cop off. Kill him. But he's a Sahabi. He's a Sahabi. You don't treat them the same. You don't treat the Sahaba radhiallahu anhum the same. So Jamaat al-Muslimin, any Sahabi, just as a point of interest, you know, one of the Sahaba radhiallahu anhum that's generally abused, Sayyidina Muawiyah radhiallahu anhum. Generally we tend to abuse, people tend to abuse him. Right? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah was a great alim and a great mujahid of the Tabi'in time. He says, لَنُخَامَةُ فَرَسِ مُعَاوِيَةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَّا لَنُخَامَةُ فَرَسِي مُعَاوِيَةُ خَيْرٌ مِنَّهَا. That, so as in Afrikaans say, the snot van die peet van Sayyidina Muawiyah is bitter as oos. The mucus in the nose of the horse of Sayyidina Muawiyah is better than us, because that horse had the honor of carrying on his back a Sahabi. That is a Sahabi who people start thinking it's okay to abuse him. It's not okay to abuse any Sahabi. Every single Sahabi is honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people can come and say, you know what, but Nabi Islam says, حَتَّى يَرِضَ عَلَيْهِ الْحَوْضُ. That, you know what, when they come to the pond of Kawthar, then I'll know which ones were my Sahaba and which ones were not. No, understand the hadith correctly. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he explains these things. Jamaat al-Muslimin, I wish I had more time to go into details and so on. But did Nabi Islam speak about his Sahaba being munafiq? No. He told Sina Huzayf ibn Al-An radu anhu, sahib al-sir. He told him the name of every single munafiq. Nabi Islam knew who the munafiqeen were, and they weren't large in number. They weren't very small either, but they weren't large in number. He was speaking about those people who at the Hawd of Kawthar will be told to Rasulullah, these people did filthy things after he passed away. It was never about Sahaba radu anhu. It was never about the Sahaba radu anhu. Was Abdullah bin Salul and his cronies. Sahaba radhiallahu anhum were always honored. So Jamaat al-Muslimin, in this month of Rabiul Awwal, when we praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam excessively, then please remember that that praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can only have been done if people told us about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because without them, without Sahaba radhiallahu anhum, none of us would have known that in the month of Rabiul Awwal, Nabi Islam was born. By the way, there's some historical issues on that issue as well. Was Nabi Islam actually born on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal? What happened on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal? Just as a concluding remark. We know confirmed Nabi Islam passed away on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. That's confirmed fact. Nabi Islam passed away on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Read the book, The Sealed Nectar. It's a translation of Ar-Rahiq al-Makhtum. Award-winning book on the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read the book, The Sealed Nectar. In The Sealed Nectar, they give you, at the occasion when they mention the birth of Rasulullah, they give you a few different dates. One of the dates is in the month of Ramadan as well. But Safiur Rahman al-Warakfuri, he says that the chance of the 12th Rabiul Awwal for the birth of Nabi Islam is actually very slim. Actually very slim chance that Nabi Islam was born on the 12th Rabiul Awwal. But be it as may, mashallah, we don't need a date to celebrate Rasulullah. We don't need a date. Last night, I attended the Mawlid. Was it 12th Rabiul Awwal? Last night I attended the Mawlid. And inshallah, next week I'll be attending another Mawlid. I don't need a date to celebrate the life of Rasulullah. I can celebrate his life every single day of my life. But Jamaat al-Muslimin, whichever date that is, let us remember the Sahaba al-Wan in every such gathering, and let us remember that when we say their names, we say Sayyiduna and Radiallahu Anhu Adin. That is how Allah Ta'ala makes dua for them. Allah Ta'ala says to us in the Quran that Radiallahu Anhu wa Radu'an, Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nastahdihi wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu fi 'ulah wa nashhadu anna muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu alladhi istafaa sallallahu sallam alayhi wa zadahu fadlan wa sharafan ladayhi wa salla 'ala al-ali wal ashab wa tabi'ina lahum ihsan amma ba'd fa ya 'ibadallah اتقوا الله في أموركم كلها وتمسكوا بسنة الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله عز وجل في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تركت فيكم أمرين لن تضلوا ما تمسكتم بهما كتاب الله وسنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nastahdihi wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama tasliman katsiran katsira amma ba'd fa ya 'ibadallah اتقوا الله في أموركم كلها وتمسكوا بسنة الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى مخيرا وآمرا بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد ورضى الله عن الخلفاء الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وأن سائر الصحابة أجمعين وأن التابعين لهم إحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بعفوك وكرمك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والكفرة والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين واجعل كلمتك هي العليا إلى يوم الدين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله تعالى يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وجل وهم وتم وعظم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. قوموا إلى صلاتكم رحمكم الله. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله العظيم، استغفر الله العظيم، استغفر الله العظيم، التواب الرحيم، الذي لا إله إلا هو القيوم نتوب إليه ونسأله توبة مغفرة إنه هو التواب الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه بارك وسلم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وإليك يعود السلام، فحينا ربنا بالسلام ودخلنا الجنة برحمتك دار السلام. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. السلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين.